friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 16th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you the newness that comes with this Easter celebration, this Easter season. My friends, we are going to look at the readings, and today, actually, we're going to look at all three. So I'm going to move through this part, this introduction, pretty quickly. We're going to look at all three because I think all three have something for us. When I was preparing, there was just a little tidbit in each that I'm like, oh, I hate to not share this with all of us on this podcast. So again, we're going to look at all three for this coming weekend, which is the fifth Sunday of Easter. I know by the time this gets posted and sent out to the feeds, it may be a week or two later. But hey, listen, the Word of God is always effective. Whether we hear it before we hear the readings or after, it still has something to teach us. So with that said, for those who like to follow along, okay, we are going to look at Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 27. And that will be our first reading. Then we're going to go to Revelations. It's pretty much the end of the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verses 1 to 5a. So it's the last chapter of all of Scripture, but early in the last chapter. And then the Gospel is just a short one, John chapter 13, verses 31 to 33a, then 34 to 35. I will have it in my liner notes, because I know that's a lot of verses to remember, but feel free to read along with, okay? So however it is, my friends, that you and I prepare to receive this Word of God well, to open ourselves that it may find a home within us, I invite you to do that at this time. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city, and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church and, with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, my friends, as always, I'll say this now. I won't say it after the other two readings. But as you hear the word of God, as you really listen and hear, as we are invited to do, if there is any thought, any image, any idea, perhaps there's a word or a phrase, if some vision comes to your mind while you are hearing, let the Spirit of God just do what God needs to do within you through that word, through that thought, through that image, through that phrase, through that idea. Just let the Spirit of God go deep, ponder, chew on it, sit with it. You know, not just now while you're listening, but the rest of this day, this coming weekend, whatever it is. Let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God needs to do. On to the second reading, a reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. You will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, or mourning, wailing, or pain, for the old order has passed away. And the one who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And finally, my friends, our gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think at some level, certainly this gospel is familiar with us. I mean, we know it is the great commandment by Jesus. You know, and it's interesting because I don't know about you. When I think of all the commandments, I think they get to be a little more specific than this one is. You know, thou shalt not steal. I know what that's pointing me to. You know, I shall not bear false witness. I shall not murder. Okay, check. I think I know where that's inviting me. This one's pretty open-ended, isn't it? Jesus, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. If I were to ask each one of you listening to this, what does that mean? I suspect each one of you maybe were pointing, I think, probably in the same direction. But how we approach that would be different. Because Jesus leaves that incredibly open-ended. How do we love? What does that mean? What does that look like? We'll come back. And I'm not going to answer the question, by the way, because I don't know that I can. But I think it's good for us to wrestle with. Now, this first reading is, you know, it's almost like a biographical account. Okay, then Paul and Barnabas, they did this. They were in this city. They made a considerable number of disciples. They strengthened them and exhorted them. And then they went to this city. And then this one. And then this one. And then they went down here, you know, and appointed some people. And then they went to this other place and everybody got together and it's like, okay, this is really, you know, just, I don't know. It's really not that exciting of a reading, but so why would I have read it for us and not just read the second reading in the gospel? Because brothers and sisters, I think there's a lot going on here that we can just gloss over or not understand the background here. If you've ever read Acts, here's what you know is happening to Paul and Barnabas. They're not just going to Lystra and then Iconium and then to Antioch and then to, you know, Pisidia and Pamphylia. They are. They're going there. They're spending time there. They are strengthening the disciples or creating disciples, you know, because they're there for the first time and they're creating the church or building it. That's hard work. But what was happening is they would leave one place. Let's say they leave Lystra to go to Iconium, and then they spend time in Iconium, and then they leave there to go to Antioch. And it says the Jews. I mean, really, that means the Jewish leadership. And really what it means is a small grouping of people that were really upset with what Paul and Barnabas were doing because they were, one, taking the Jewish faith and moving it in a manner, not separate from Judaism, but that Jesus was the fulfillment of Judaism and the Messiah that they were looking for. And of course, these Jewish leaders didn't agree with that. And so what they were trying to do, but, you know, and then the fact that, Paul and Barnabas were inviting Gentiles to be part of it, I mean, that's beyond the pale. And so anyway, they were sending these people behind them to undermine the work they were doing. So that's why they doubled back on, themselves and strengthened and exhorted them, because after they left a place and they spent all this time and all this work in creating these disciples and these churches, and, when I mean churches, it doesn't mean buildings, it means this grouping of people, and this grouping of people may not have been more than 6 or 8 or 10 people, that they were undermined by these people. And they didn't know, brothers and sisters, if their work was going to last. Paul and Barnabas had no idea we'd be mentioning their work 2,000 years later. Shoot, I mean, Acts wasn't even written until after Paul's death. I mean, Paul may have gone to his grave thinking, what is going to happen with the work I've done? I've spent my life's work, and these people were undermining it after me all the time. Will there be anything left of that? Because people kept coming back. You know, they went to Lystra, and then they went to Pisidia or Pamphylia or Antioch, and people undermined constantly afterward. Yet they kept moving forward, trusting that God can do whatever God needs to do with the work that they are doing. And that's an incredible, not only amount of strength, but the amount of faith that they had to be able to do that, to say, I don't need to see the success of my efforts. I just need to be faithful to where God is calling us, where God is calling me. And I want to use that then and go into a story. And it was just in, my daily meditation this morning, and I love how it connected. But it's that idea that Francis of Assisi, of course, I think we're all probably at some level familiar with his story, but Francis died at a young age, at I want to say 45, 46 years old. And Francis had no vision for, okay, all these people are following him because they were attracted to what he was doing, what he was saying, but his lifestyle. And he had no vision for what to do with that after his death. But Francis had the incredible freedom and trust in God that upon his deathbed, he looked up at those followers of him gathered around, and I can't imagine it was 50 or 80 or 100, it was probably 12 or 8, one of which was Bonaventure, whom we now say is Saint Bonaventure. And Francis says that wonderful line. He says, I have done what was mine to do. May Christ teach you what is yours to do. I love that. I'm going to say it again. He's dying, and he's not saying, listen, you have to create the community this way, this way, and this way. He's saying, I have done what God called me to do. May the same God who taught me what is mine to do open you to do what is yours to do. And through that freedom that Francis gave, Bonaventure, who stepped into the shoes of Francis and led the order, if I can call that, OFM, the Order of Friars Minor. They just said the little ones, the little friars is what that means. Bonaventure was able to help put together the beginnings of what we know as the Franciscan Order. Not because he needed to be Francis Part II, but because he could be Bonaventure. And Bonaventure, what he did was he took what Francis taught him, which was what? How to see God in all things. It was Francis, right, who said brother, sun, and sister, moon, and even called death, sister, death, and brother, wolf, and all the things that all were brothers and sisters to us. And he taught Bonaventure how to see God in all things. And Bonaventure could take that and then be who he, Bonaventure, needed to be in every other way. And I love that, brothers and sisters, because we see this in that same first reading that we had just read from Acts of the Apostles. that Paul and Barnabas are going to all these different cities. They're struggling with people who are undermining it. They're trusting in the faith of God to keep moving. But in each place, they appoint elders for them in each church. With prayer and fasting, they commend them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. And then you move on to the next one. In what they did was they said, listen, I need to get this ready for people who are going to come after me. Like Francis did. He didn't get it ready and say, this is how it needs to be. But he did pass it on and say, listen, I've done what I could do. Now you need to do what you can do. May Christ teach you what is yours to do to help continue this path we're walking. I don't need it to be like in my image. Paul and Barnabas didn't need to create these communities to be in their image. They needed to be in the image of God, however God was teaching them. But Paul and Barnabas formed the next generation, just as Francis did with Bonaventure. How are we doing that, brothers and sisters? How are we forming it that if God were to invite us home today, or God were to invite us in a different direction, and we were to move across the country, how would what we have done, the work we have done, maybe not the work we have done, but the vision that we have helped carry forward, have we passed that on to others that they will be able to live it? And I'm not necessarily just talking about our workplace, you know, that will work, survive, and the work that we've done. How have we, brothers and sisters, how are we helping those close to us? Particularly, I think of parents with children. How are we inviting them to see the world? Letting them do what God invites them to do. May Christ teach them what is theirs to do. But we have taught them how to see. I think, brothers and sisters, when we are told that we are called to bring the word of God to the ends of the earth in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew or in the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, when he says, you know, bring this out with you to Judea and Galilee and Jerusalem and the ends of the earth. I don't know that it is standing on street corners or necessarily just words that we're called to do. I think we're inviting people to see the world, to see God, to see creation, to see themselves in a new way. I think we're inviting them to have vision. Like Francis taught Bonaventure to see God in all things, I think we're teaching them to see a new Jerusalem, right? This vision of this new community, that it is no longer, you know, not just the old Jerusalem, but the communities of faith that undermine, that take advantage of one another, that are separated by any number of things that divide us. You name it, it divides us. But that these new communities, how we are invited to see, is so new that there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more death, no wailing or pain. For the old order, that old way of seeing, that old way of being in the world, that old way of division and undermining, and one against another, it has passed away. For God is with us, the very center of our new community, of this relationship, is the presence of God. And what does that God do? Behold, I make all things new. Don't we say that's the calling card of God? That no matter what cell in which we find ourselves, in what cell we have placed ourselves, or others have placed us, that those bars will not hold. That our God makes all things new in whatever situation we find ourselves individually, in whatever situation we find ourselves collectively. That will not hold. God does not stay distant, brothers and sisters. God is with us, Emmanuel, not just in Jesus, although it was very much in Jesus, but Jesus taught us how to see and says, I have done what was mine to do. Now, my friends, it is yours to do. May God teach you what is yours to do. I have taught you how to see. And brothers and sisters, I think this is what Jesus is pointing to with that commandment, to love one another. This is how they will know, right? Not through your words, not through the style of clothing, not through the political or ecclesiological stances that you take. This is how they will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I give you a new commandment, love one another. I have taught you how to see the God that I, the Christ, am present within all things. Paul and Barnabas taught others. They passed this on. So they knew this new way of seeing, this new way of being in the world, not the old order, but this new order would remain beyond their individual lives. In loving these places in Pamphylia and Pisidia and Antioch and Iconium, they taught them a new way to be in the world. That's what love looked like. And how they loved in Iconium may be different than how they loved in Antioch, but they taught them that God was present, how to see differently, and let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do. It wasn't controlling. Brothers and sisters, we are not called to be women and men of control. We are not called to build anything in our own image, our families, our workplace, our communities. But we are called to love. And in so doing, we help remind people God is present, God is here. And I know that to be true, regardless of what difficulties we're encountering, because Paul and Barnabas did, but they trusted in the length and breadth and width and depth of God, that God can do with their work what God will do, even if it appears outwardly to be failing and falling apart because it's being undermined. And the people in Revelation written during the time of the Roman persecution, it looked like that faith may not make it. And the one on the throne says, behold, don't you worry about a thing. I make all things new. Even this persecution, I can make it good. There will be in this new city no more weeping or wailing or tears or death or mourning. I am with you. Brothers and sisters, whatever it is we are encountering today, may we have the hope of the people during the Roman persecution who were reading that and know that our God can make all things new. May we have the hope of Paul and Barnabas to say, I'm not making this in my image and it doesn't have to look like I want it to look like, but help me to teach people how to see. Help me to teach people to see God in all things. Because in doing so, I love them. I'm giving them a skill and I have no idea how they're going to use it. But God does. I have done what was mine to do. May Christ teach you what is yours to do. But me, I just got to teach you how to see, how to love, how God is present, how hope wins, because the one on the throne makes all things new. What you do with it, that's yours. That's yours to do. This is good stuff. Let's take it to prayer. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth glorious mystery, Mary is crowned Queen of Heaven. And we're not only praying during this Easter season to see differently and to teach, help people to see God's presence everywhere, but let's keep Pope Leo in our prayers as he begins his new pontificate here as well. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, on this fifth Sunday of Easter, may God bless and keep you. May your week ahead be filled with every good joy. May you see God well. Be well.